At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do at least three times a week over the digital airwaves of YouTube. As you can see, I am back in my familiar and comfortable habitat. My studio's okay. Thank you so much for joining me. By the way, let me take a moment to show my love and appreciation to my subscribers out there. We've now eclipsed 642,000 to be exact. Can't thank y'all enough. Keep the love coming, and I'm gonna keep on coming. To continue to like and follow the Stephen A. Smith Show right here on YouTube, just click the bell to get notified of all of our new content, and boom, there you are. You'll be the newest member of the Stephen A. Smith Show family. While you're doing that, please make sure and don't forget to pick up a copy of my New York Times best-selling book, Straight Shooter, a memoir of second chances and first takes, now in paperback. Just go to straightshooterbook.com to get yourself a copy. Once again, that's straightshooterbook.com. It's now in paperback. Got a great show for you coming this way. Let's get right to it and get started with the NBA playoffs, where I must confess, an apology is in order. I'm a humble man, so I got to be real. Last week, I went on the national airwaves and proclaimed the Minnesota Timberwolves as the next franchise to win an NBA championship. Now, in my defense, this was after seeing Anthony Edwards and the T-Wolves dismantle the Nuggets at home in the first two games of the Western Conference semifinals, especially game two when the defense had the Nuggets offense on complete lockdown. Well, what a difference a week makes. The Nuggets rebounded and beat Minnesota's ass, not just once, but twice in Minnesota to even this series up 2-2. Anthony Edwards didn't show up for game three, acknowledged it, admitted it, showed up in game four, dropped 44, and it still didn't matter because the Denver Nuggets couldn't be stopped. Jokic, that dude, put on a show. Jamal Murray right here with this half-court heave and then staring into the camera for the TNT broadcasters, mainly Reggie Miller just looking at them. Y'all must have forgot who the hell I am. That Jamal Murray. Did I tell you Aaron Gordon hit 11 of his 12 shots? Did I tell you that the pressure that Minnesota applied to Denver's offense by virtue of pressuring Jamal Murray was alleviated by Coach Mike Malone, who just said, yo, Aaron Gordon, you bring the ball up the court, because guess what? They ain't gonna pressure you like they were pressuring Jamal Murray. And look what happened. 27 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists. That Aaron Gordon. And the Denver Nuggets won game 4. Game 3 and 4, but especially game 4, with Michael Porter dropping 5 points. I'm sorry, 4 points. Ladies and gentlemen, Minnesota has gone from being a team I thought would sweep Denver to not only having the series tied, but a team I deem in trouble, and they ain't gonna may not even make it to the next round. I apologize, Mike Malone. I apologize, Jamal Murray. I apologize, Aaron Gordon, Michael Porter Jr., Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and especially Coach Malone, who once again has shown himself to be a great, great coach of the reigning defending NBA champions. Don't have Jeff Green, and Bruce Brown from last year. Doesn't matter. Bench depleted. Doesn't matter. Not the same reliable bodies. Doesn't matter. Denver is a team to be reckoned with. I'm sorry. If I had time, I'd call Mike Malone on the phone right now to get him on the show just to apologize to him. I really, really would. And I'm not ruling it out. If he wants me to apologize to him over the national airwaves, over the digital airwaves, I will do it. He deserves that. Because, damn, they kicked their ass in game 3. And that was a good game in game 4. But when you blow it at the end of the first half by giving up a 3, and then after that, You know, I mean, Jokic doing what he did. It turned, you know, Anthony Edwards turned over the ball. You get in for a fast break layup. And then after that, Jamal Murray heaving it from half court. I mean, come on, y'all. Can't let that happen. That's what the Minnesota Timberwolves did in a span of the last 16 seconds of the first half. And a 7-point lead ended up being like a 15-point lead for Denver. Lord, look at that. That's what happened. Series in trouble for Minnesota. Series in trouble. Let's get to my New York Knicks because we can't avoid that. We can't avoid it. They were blown out on Mother's Day yesterday. Game 4 of the Eastern Conference semifinal matchup against the Indiana Pacers. The Knicks are depleted, I would remind y'all. So it wasn't that unpredictable that they got off to a bad start. They shot just 6 of 23 in the first quarter, but they watched as Indiana's bench outscored their own 17 to nothing. So Sunday was the Knicks' day of reckoning when everything finally caught up to them. Injuries, player rotations, lengthy minutes, etc. Here's the bottom line. They were massacred. They were embarrassed. They were blitzed. That was a thorough, royal ass-kicking. I can't deny it. Mother's Day Massacre, Part 2. Remember 1982, May 9th? The Boston Celtics versus the Philadelphia 76ers, 121-80. Remember that? Kevin McHale wasn't even a starter. ML Carr was starting for the Boston Celtics, okay? That's what was going on. And they blitzed Julius Erving and those boys. Well, this was another one. And the Knicks are in trouble, but it's not because of their game. They were just tired, exhausted, not fresh legs. They got blitzed. Indiana would have missed a shot early, and then it was just too much to overcome. They were down by as many as 43 points. We get all that, down 28 at the half. All right, fine. Here's the real problem. Julius Randle's out. Mitchell Robinson is out. Bogdanovich is out. Now OG Anunoby is out. I believe had OG Anunoby been in Game 3, the New York Knicks would have won Game 3. I didn't expect the New York Knicks to look like they looked in Game 3, but they did. I didn't expect Dante DiVincenzo to look like the second coming of Steph Curry, but he did. I didn't expect Jalen Brunson, who was hobbled, to play the way he played, but he did. Josh Hart had 18 rebounds that game. Mother's Day, he had 3. We all know what an energizer bunny he is. We all know it's an aberration. But in the end, what it comes down to is this. New York Knicks got to win Game 5. I don't think you're New York and you want to go back to Indy down 3-2. You got to win Game 5. You got to put Indiana on its heels. And that way, if you need to take Game 6 off because things get out of hand early and you need to rest the dudes for Game 7, you could do that. You cannot afford to lose Game 5 at Madison Square Garden Tuesday night. That cannot happen. It cannot happen. Props to Halliburton, who struggled the first two games, but games 3 and 4 came on strong. Props to him. Props to Miles Turner. Okay? Props to a whole bunch of cats. Nesmith and Nembhard and these brothers, the way they've been playing defense. Nesmith against Jalen Brunson, holding like 33% shooting. New York Knicks got to win Game 5. Whether or not they're going to have the fresh legs to do it or not remains to be seen, but clearly they're depleted by health. I don't even think this would be a series if the Knicks were fully loaded health-wise. But they're not, and that's just the way it goes. Another topic, one more NBA topic, is to be exact, before we get to the beef between my boys, both Shannon Sharp and Shaquille O'Neal, the Shaq daddy himself. I want to talk about the upcoming draft because Bronny James' name keeps propping up. That would happen to be the son of LeBron James, who's been medically cleared by the NBA's fitness to play panel. You may recall Bronny suffered the cardiac arrest 9 months ago during practice at USC. He underwent surgery to repair a congenital heart defect. James is now expected to remain in the 2024 NBA draft, but he still maintains his college eligibility. I understand the thinking here by Rich Paul for Clutch Sports, who obviously will be representing Bronny James and what have you. Bronny James himself, LeBron James, and the family. Because when you get cleared by the NBA play panel, obviously that goes a long way towards solidifying that health shouldn't be a concern for evaluators moving forward. Fair enough. The man averaged 4 points a game in his freshman year. We know health debilitated him. We know things weren't ideal for him in his first year at USC. We know he still has the option of remaining in college and could transfer somewhere else if he chooses not to stay at USC. We know all of these things. Here's what we really, really, really need to understand. This story at this moment in time has transitioned to a story that's not even about Bronny James anymore. It's about LeBron James. And let me tell y'all what's going on. I ain't asking. I ain't guessing. I'm telling you what I've been told. Take of it what you will. LeBron James is obviously eligible to sign an extension. He can choose to go elsewhere. He can choose to stay with the Los Angeles Lakers. And the reports are that he's looking for a 3-year contract extension. Fair enough. Fair enough. Plays until he's age 42, get his money, opt in this year for the $50-plus million, opt out, gets even more than that over the next 3 years. You can look at all of that. Doesn't want to leave L.A., built this beautiful mansion, is building another one. All of this stuff you hear. Let me tell you what else I've been hearing. LeBron James is trying to get the Los Angeles Lakers to draft Bronny James with a second-round pick. He'd also like for J.J. Redick to be his next head coach. I'm just telling you what I've heard. Now, that doesn't mean the Lakers want J.J. Redick. It doesn't mean they don't. But J.J. Redick, I'm not going to dime out my colleague like that at ESPN. That's my guy. Love him to death. But it's all over the news about him being a candidate for the Lakers job. It is absolutely true. He's one of many. They haven't made a finite decision about anybody yet. But LeBron has. That's the guy he wants. Which would kind of explain why they're doing a basketball podcast together. I'm just guessing on that point. But it makes sense. Nevertheless, that has nothing to do with Bronny. Here's what does. The Lakers have a second-round pick. I think it's 55. You can't justify taking Bronny James with the 17th overall pick in the first round. There's no way in hell they could pull that off. Lakers pull that off, they'll get crucified. And any vitriol that's received, LeBron James has brought that on because he's been so public about wanting to play with his son, which caused this whole brouhaha. Not realizing, because I know he didn't do it intentionally, but really not realizing the shrapnel of criticism that would bring down upon his son if he ends up getting drafted when so many people don't believe he deserves to be drafted. But here's a news flash, what I've also heard. Bronny James might not make it to the Lakers' second-round pick because if a team like the Dallas Mavericks could position themselves to get him in the second round, they'll take him. Because LeBron said he wants to go where his son goes. And if you're the Dallas Mavericks, and you got Kyrie, and you got Luka, and LeBron James is willing to come to Big D, Dallas, Texas, that might be the first time something's more popular than the Cowboys. Now, I know that sounds like hyperbole, and it probably is, but I'm saying, damn, it's pretty damn close. Even when the Dallas Mavericks won the title in 2011, nobody was thinking about them like that. Dirk Nowitzki, Jason Terry, Jason Kidd, and, you know, stuff like that. But if LeBron James was to join Kyrie and Luka, because LeBron James has been on the record saying that he wants to play with his son, and obviously him being a billionaire, money's not an issue. Especially on him and his team talking to folks in Saudi Arabia to ultimately partner up with him so he can ultimately own an NBA team down the line. Money ain't an issue for LeBron James. Playing with his son is something he said was. And because that's known and that's understood, who knows what that could end up being. So you got the Lakers and the Dallas Mavs in the mix when it comes to Bronny James. The irony of all of this is so many people have questioned Bronny James and his capabilities at this juncture in his career. We ain't talking about the other son, Bryce, who's younger, who no one ever mentions. But I'm hearing this kid is the one that's got big-time skills with tremendous promise. I'm just letting y'all know what I'm hearing. Dallas Mavericks, position yourself. Get the second-round pick that gets you, Bronny James, so LeBron James can come to Dallas. That's what they're saying. That's what they're saying. Before we get to break, I want to revisit the beef between Shaq and my man Shannon Sharpe. Shaq ruffled feathers last week with his criticism of Nikola Jokic winning his third NBA MVP over Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. When Shannon used his podcast, Nightcap, to comment and weigh in and question Shaq's work ethic during his playing career, that's when a problem occurred. Shannon said Shaq was, quote, envious, end quote, of Jokic and his trio of MVP awards, and added he's in the conversation among NBA's greatest despite how dominant the four-time NBA champion was during his prime. Shaq responded by dropping a diss track on Instagram. We couldn't have access to that where we could air that for you. I know both of them. Obviously, Shaq a hell of a lot longer. That's my brother. On so many levels, we go back a long ways. Shannon Sharp is somebody I'm proud to have as my partner on First Take on ESPN, at least a couple of weekday mornings each week, and our friendship has grown. Here's what I would say. Knowing Shaq the way that I do, having not spoken to him about this, Shaq probably took exception to being called envious of anybody, because he believes he's one of the greatest ever. He knows it, and he knows he's got the resume to prove it. As he would say, Google him. And four rings, you don't equal that with one chip. But Shannon wasn't talking about chips. He was talking about league MVP honors, which we know Shaq definitely earned and deserved more than one, or actually deserved more than one. They didn't give him more than one, but he definitely deserved more than one. So that's where Shannon was coming from with that. Shannon, knowing Shannon the way that I do, his whole position would be, why do you have Jokic on the air interviewing him and congratulating him for winning the league MVP award, but in the same breath tell him during the interview you didn't think he deserved it? Why would you do that to him on the day that he won the award? Now, no matter what position you take, both of them are Hall of Famers. Both of them are champions. Shannon in football, Shaq in basketball. It is what it is. And you can't talk about somebody how they really, really feel when you say they're envious, they're this, they're that, because you don't know. The other side to that, however, is if you Shaq, you should feel a bit salty about somebody getting three league MVPs when you know you deserved at least that many. You're wondering about the criteria. You're wondering about what it takes to really, really judge. You're wondering if there's a standard being imposed or that was imposed towards you and that era that's not being imposed now. And that might make you a bit salty. That makes perfect sense to me. I can't knock that. I feel Shaq on that part. But I also feel Shannon when Shannon's like, why would you say to that man on the day he's receiving that award he didn't deserve it, in your opinion? Why? Why would you do that to his face when he comes on the air to be interviewed by you? That's what it is, ladies and gentlemen. Here's my point to both folks. Get the hell over it. Shannon's got a platform, Nightcap, Club Shay Shay, doing his thing in a very, very, very big way over the digital stratosphere of YouTube and beyond. Big things. Major props to him. Shaq is Shaq. The man is an iconic figure, highly successful, more commercials than anybody on the planet, doing his thing. Damn near worth close to $1 billion himself. Shaq is fine. There's nothing wrong with differences in opinion, as long as it doesn't get beyond itself. Two Hall of Famers arguing against one another with their perspectives makes total sense until it gets personal. No need for that. No need. Just my suggestion. Far be it for me to be the one to promote peace amongst everyone. But that's exactly what I'm doing. Coming up, I might have seen the best first pitch ever thrown at a baseball game, ever. We'll talk about that. Plus, fine, funny, and financial. What do all three have to do with dating? Oh, I'll get into that in a second, and you'll see why. But first, he's the coach of the Milwaukee Bucks and a longtime friend. The one and only Doc Rivers joins me next to talk playoffs and respond to the recent criticism from the one and only J.J. Redick himself. That's next, right here on the Stephen A. Smith Show. Don't go away.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Have you made the switch to Knicks?
Millions of women have made the switch to the revolutionary period underwear from Knix. That's K-N-I-X. Period panties from Knix are like no other, making them the number one leak-proof underwear brand in North America. They're comfy, stylish, and absorbent, perfect for period protection from your lightest to your heaviest days. They look, feel, and machine wash just like regular underwear, but feature incognito protection that has you covered. You can shop sizes from extra small to 4XL. Choose from all kinds of colors, prints, and different styles, from bikinis to boy shorts, thongs to high-rise. You've got to try Knix. See why millions are ditching disposable, wasteful period products and have switched to Knix. Go to knix.com and get 15% off with promo code TRY15. That's knix.com, promo code TRY15 for 15% off life-changing period underwear. That's knix.com.
Oh, my Lord. Have you been watching the NBA playoffs? Because you know I have. And yes, they've been fantastic. Make no mistake about it. But do you know what else makes watching them even more exciting, even more scintillating? Prize Picks, of course. That's what the hell I'm talking about. In case you didn't know this. Prize Picks is a daily fantasy app where you can select two or more of your favorite players and then pick more or less on their projected stats for the game. So with a big event happening each and every single night, Prize Picks is here to help you cash in on all that real-time action. I make my picks every night in less than 60 seconds. Then I sit back, I watch, and I wait for the cash. But Prize Picks doesn't stop at the NBA. Oh, no. You can choose from a myriad of sports, the WNBA, Major League Baseball, National Hockey League, even MMA, and everything in between. And get this, Prize Picks will match your first deposit of up to $100. You heard me right. Go to prizepicks.com and use code SAS. That's my initials, of course, for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's SAS when you go to prizepicks.com and use the promo code. Pick more. Pick less. It's really, really that easy. Welcome back to the Stephen A. Smith Show right here over the digital airwaves of YouTube. Let's get to a little baseball before I get back to the NBA for a second, please. Last week, golf legend John Daly threw out the ceremonial first pitch at a St. Louis Cardinals game. No, not only for his game, but also for his colorful fashions. Daly sported a card shirt, flowered shorts, and flip-flops on the mound. And he didn't disappoint, firing off a strike into the catcher's glove that had fans at the stands giving him a rousing ovation, a rousing approval. I tried to pull that off for myself, but it didn't work out quite as well as that pitch right there. In flip-flops and a pair of shorts with a Cardinal shirt, look at that man right there throw out that damn first pitch. Needless to say, I did no such thing. Let me transition to the NBA and get to my first guest here. Coach, the one and only Doc Rivers for the Milwaukee Bucks is in the house. Now, Coach, I know you saw me. You were teasing me for months about my first pitch. You saw what John Daly did. Go ahead, man. Just get it out your system. Go ahead and laugh at me, man.
Listen, this is all I'm going to say. I'm going to defend you. I got a feeling that Mr. Daly probably has some secret sauce in him.
Right.
And so he didn't feel any nerves. He felt nothing when he threw that pitch. That was a perfect pitch. That was impressive.
Damn it, that's our story. We sticking to it because he threw it right down the middle. I was impressed with it for crying out loud. But Doc, it's good to see you, man. Sorry the Milwaukee Bucks are out of the postseason after inheriting the team midseason. They were 30-13. A few games later, you come, you take over. Y'all finished 17-19 in the regular season. Of course, you lost to the Indiana Pacers in the first round. Your thoughts on how this season unfolded for you and what went wrong with the Milwaukee Bucks this year?
Well, it was just difficult. You know, obviously they felt they need to make a change, and they did that even though with the record they had. And, you know, I've been on record about Griff. Like, I just wish he could have got a different shape for sure. The dude is going to be an NBA coach, and he should be. We talk still all the time. Having said that, for us, it was more health and road, and we just never got it together, Stephen A. I can't wait for this summer, for next season to have a training camp. And, you know, listen, you're seeing it right now with the Knicks. You're seeing it with every team. If you're not healthy in the playoffs, you're not going to win. It's just, at the end of the day, that's the bottom line.
Listen, Giannis got hurt before the playoffs began. Damian Lillard got hurt during the playoffs, and he was hurt prior to the playoffs as well. So I get where you're coming from. But explain for novices out there who don't understand, particularly in this day and age, exactly what a full training camp will do for a team, a coach like yourself and the team itself, for those that don't understand?
Oh, it's so important. And not only just for training camp, but a for training camp with your staff as a coach. But getting everybody on the same page. Listen, with the way the schedule is now, and as crazy as it sounds, I think all coaches would agree, it was easier 5 years ago before they changed the scheduling. Because right now, after you get out of camp, you don't have a lot of practice days. You really don't. You have every other day you play. You have very few off days. So in inheritance, you have very few practice days, and it makes it so difficult. But getting your team organized through training camp and preseason is so important, offensively and defensively. The language, the style you want to play, the pace you want to play, into the game sets, you do all that in training camp. And then by the end of the year, you actually know which one of those sets worked the best. Your chemistry's better. Camp's important. It really is.
You know, when I look at you and I look at your career, you're a champion. You won a championship in 2008, coach of the Boston Celtics. You obviously went to the finals, lost in a seven-game series, game seven, to the Los Angeles Lakers and Kobe Bryant and all of that stuff. Obviously, you've had a very impressive career overall over your 24-plus seasons as a head coach in the National Basketball Association. Yet, taking over this job, a lot of people looked at you and they said, yo, Doc, you on watch. You under pressure. This could be it for you. Did you feel that kind of pressure at all going into this job, and do you feel it now going into next season?
I really don't feel a lot of pressure, Stephen. You know me better than that. Listen, I'm fourth in playoff wins and eighth in career winning. So won a title, want to win another one. That's why I'm doing this. And so with that, yeah, that's pressure. But as far as all the other stuff, I don't feel a lot. Listen, I've had a lot of success, had some failures too. But even in the failures, you know, I look at all those, and some of those, no one look at how we got there. You know, being an eighth seed, losing to the Detroit Pistons is never something you should feel bad about. You know what I'm saying? So, but winning should carry pressure, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you put yourself in a position, and I keep doing it, and I do it on purpose, I put myself on purpose in situations that teams have a chance to win. And with that comes pressure. And with that also comes, when it doesn't work out, you're going to be the first to go, especially in this day and time. I tell coaches that all the time. Listen, we signed up for it. Do I think Adrian should have been fired? No, I don't think Bud should have been fired. I don't think, all these guys that have been fired of late should have been fired this year. Having said that, we've all signed up for it, and we'd all sign up for it again. So you just have to take it, and you have to take the pressure with it.
You and I go back decades. When I've disagreed with you, you know I tell you. You know I ain't shy about it. I look at you and I tell you, this is where I stand, coach, hair's wide, all that stuff. And then you correct me like you usually do. I didn't feel that way about you last year in Philadelphia. I felt that I didn't think that was on you at all. I just felt like there were other circumstances. And don't get me started with James Harden at that particular moment in time. Don't even get me started. I ain't going to repeat what I said. But in the end, when you departed from Philly with Joel Embiid, with Harden, with Maxey, who you were telling me, and Wilbon, my man Michael Wilbon, for years, this guy Maxey is going to be special. He's something spectacular to behold. When you look at things and how it ultimately transpired in Philadelphia, how fortunate did you feel after departing from Philadelphia to land the job in Milwaukee?
You know, it's funny. I knew I was going to get a job. I've had calls, had several calls during the beginning of the season. So I wasn't that concerned. But Stephen, I told you, I was not taking another job unless I thought we legitimately had a chance to win. I just was not going to do that. You know, high character, great organizations, all that stuff matters so much, not only just for the players, it matters more for coaching. I know all the people in Milwaukee. I know the ownership in Milwaukee. John Hurst, I've known. So it helped me to take that job. Going back to Milwaukee for me was important. You know, that's where I started, at Marquette. So there's so many good things for me to go back there. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, listen, I had a fun time with Mike Breen. Let me tell you, Mike and Doris, we were having a ball. It was refreshing. It was refreshing, too. I needed that break from coaching. So all that was good. I just fell into a great situation And you always feel fortunate when that happens.
You were working for the A-team on ESPN ABC with Mike Green and Doris Burke. That's who you were alluding to. You departed to take this head coaching job. Now J.J. Redick is there. J.J. Redick was on the record getting on you pretty adamantly about some of the things that you were saying once you ultimately ended up in Milwaukee and talked about passing a buck or whatever. Did you two ever talk about that? Did you ever resolve that with one another?
No. JJ's had a problem with me for a while, and that's fine. Players do. One thing, when you coach, Stephen A., you can be called a player's coach or whatever you want to be called, but if you make decisions that the player doesn't agree with, and in JJ's case, we didn't sign him back. With the Clippers, I stopped playing him as much because he wasn't very effective in the playoffs, and, that's all known. But I'm fine with that. Like, usually they all come back to you. Mm-hmm. They do. Because they know everything you tried to teach them or do for them was in good. J.J. Redick's best numbers of his career was under one coach, and you're looking at him right here. I'm the one that grabbed him out of Milwaukee and decided to start him. From that point on, his career took off. All the movement plays, everything. First play of the game, every game when we played with the Clippers, you would have coaches and teams come up to you and say, you're not going to score on that first play with J.J. And I would always say, just watch us. We're going to figure it out. So overall, nothing but love for J.J. Obviously, there's things he doesn't like, and I have no issues with him.
How do you feel about the thought of him being a head coach in the NBA? Because that's what the rumors are saying, that ultimately he's going to be a head coaching candidate. They've mentioned him in Charlotte. They've mentioned him with the Los Angeles Lakers. That's to just mention two teams. How do you feel about that, knowing what you know about him as a basketball mind and now a basketball commentator?
Well, he has a great mind. He really does. And listen, that's how I got it. I went into commentating and got a head coaching job. So I personally really hope he gets the job, because then he'll understand some of the things that he has a problem with me and other coaches that you hear on this podcast. He'll realize not as easy as you think. Mm. And some of these decisions that you have to make are brutal. Me and Pat Riley, and it's in one of the books, we had a drag out fight. Like an argument in Pat Riley's office.
Right.
Jeff Van Gundy and Dick Arter used to tell a story that they was standing at the door because they thought they were going to have to come in.
This is when you were a member of the New York Knicks. When you were a member of the New York Knicks. When Pat Riley was coaching the Knicks.
Yes. Yeah, we had a crazy argument. And then I decided I was going to coach 5 years later. And it took me about 2 years. I remember calling Pat Riley and said, Coach, I'm sorry for that argument. I see now what you saw, but I didn't see it then. And I think a lot of players who get in this business find that out.
Talking to Doc Rivers right here with Stephen A. Smith, getting back to Milwaukee for a quick second. Any reason for anybody in the basketball world to be concerned, including yourself, about the future of Giannis Antetokounmpo in Milwaukee? Because obviously he's a superstar. We all know how big time he is. We know he's under contract in Milwaukee. But in the same breath, you always hear little rumblings. If it doesn't go this way, this doesn't go that way, Giannis might want out. Do you find yourself ever concerned about that at all?
No, not at all. Having said that, listen, you never know. But usually all those things don't come from inside of Milwaukee. They come from outside of Milwaukee. I think they look at Milwaukee is a small market, and you think guys want to go to a big market. I mean, you're hoping everyone wants to go to a big market.
The Knicks.
Know that.
You know me, Coach. You know me. I want everybody on the Knicks. I want everybody on the Knicks. You know how I am, Coach. I can't help it. Let me transition to the postseason here. And I know you're limited in what you can say because you're a coach in the NBA, and I get that. I ain't going to ask you about no free agents, nothing like that. I'm just talking about the basketball that we're seeing in the postseason. Speak to me about what you're seeing and what you find yourself most excited about in terms of what you're watching right now.
Well, first of all, I think it's been awesome. The Knicks just, and I hate to tell you this, but the Knicks have been just fun to watch.
Yeah, they have.
They really have been. And this Pacers series, I told you before the series, so no one's thinking about the Indiana Pacers, but I'm telling you, their ball pressure that they put on you will wear you out. I thought, obviously our health wars out, but I thought their ball pressure, us fighting to get the ball up the floor, Dame fighting to get up the floor, I thought each game wore Dame out more and more, and Chris Middleton as well. And I thought that was a major problem for us.
So I'm looking at it right now. That's a big time. Listen, the Indiana Pacers are incredibly impressive offensively. Defensively, by the way you sound, we haven't given them enough credit for what they do with their ball pressure. But you know what? Somebody who will remain nameless taught me that you beat that ball pressure by passing the damn ball. And once you pass the ball, that defense usually is going to be helpless to do anything against you once you alleviate that pressure that they were provided. Don't you feel that can be the case with the Knicks, even with their depleted bodies?
It's huge. But you also have to have the right players to be able to do that. You just can't throw it ahead to anyone. You know, you have to make sure you have the right personnel to be able to do that. I think what Indiana does a great job, they're just trying to take up clock and wear you down. Once you got it across half court, the Knicks are very good in scoring. It's just getting it up and then getting it back to Brunson. Like, even if he doesn't bring it up, he still has to get it back. And they're going to deny you and they're going to fight you. It's exhausting, and you can see that. Look at what Minnesota did to Denver in those first two games. Right. Very similar. The ball pressure would lift. It wore them down. The difference is Denver has this guy named Joker who they can throw the ball to, and he can bring the ball up, or they can use Aaron. They have so
many
different
guys. They used Aaron Gordon exactly. Last night to bring the ball up the court to take the pressure off Jamal Murray.
And it was fantastic. And then they still don't get it to Murray. They get it to Joker, and then Murray comes around for all the handoffs. So they're kind of built to beat that type of pressure. Most teams are not.
One of the biggest news of the series between Minnesota and Denver is, A, Stephen A. Smith, your buddy, embarrassed himself by saying that the Minnesota Timberwolves on the verge of sweeping the reigning defending NBA champions. Because, Doc, in that game two first half, I don't think I've seen defense played like that in more than 30 years. The last time I remember seeing, or close to 30 years, the last time I remember seeing defense played like that was when Jordan came back to avenge a loss in, when he finally returned in 95 and lost to Orlando, when he came back to avenge it by getting Rodman, and him, Pippen, and Rodman went after Orlando in game one of that Eastern Conference Finals. That was an annihilation. They won that game damn near by 40. I couldn't believe what I saw. I hadn't seen defense like that when Minnesota played in the first half of game two. And I said, what are you going to do if you're Denver? I can't believe this. And sure enough, they find a way to come back. The second big thing, though, is this. How are you, Rudy Gobert, your four-time defensive player of the year, but then the postseason arrives and you look like anything but? Can you explain that, Coach?
Well, a lot of times teams go small and they kind of play them out. In this series, he's playing against one of the greatest centers of all time.
Right.
So it's not as much as how bad Rudy is. It's just how good Joker is, in my opinion. And Joker's power, like, I think he doesn't get enough credit how strong and big he is.
Yes.
When you watch these games, I mean, Rudy is literally just bouncing off of him.
Yes.
It just tells you the power that Joker can play with, and he doesn't get enough credit for that. So you do see that. I thought, as far as great defense, I'm a little ashamed of you. I thought you were going to say the Pat Riley Knicks.
Yeah. That's true. That's true.
I mean, you could have thrown that out first.
That was years earlier than the Jordan in 95, 96. It was years
earlier than that, Doc.
That's true. But let me ask you this, because I've been underestimating Dallas, because I like the fact that they picked up Gafford. I like Gafford and Lively. I see they've got additional size, but Tim Hardaway Jr. was hurt before he came back. P.J. Washington was supposed to be a good player, wasn't supposed to be what we've seen in the games in these last two games. If P.J. Washington continues to play like this, Dallas could go to the finals, Coach.
Hey, listen, you don't want to get into a series where the ace of spades is on the other team. You know, me and Tom Thibodeau, when we were in Boston, we always had the saying, let's not get to a game seven if the ace of spades is on the other team.
Right.
You can make the case, as good as Shea is and those young boys in Oklahoma, that you don't want to get in a game with Kyrie and Luka in a game set. And that's what makes them – they're better in the playoffs because of that. The game slows a little bit. The trades that they made, that Nico and that group made before All-Star break, have made them a way better defensive team. And Kyrie is just in a perfect place right now. The way he's playing, he's defending. They are a dangerous team to face. But I still think this could go either way. I really do.
Right.
I just love Shea. Shea may be, you know, other than the guys I coach, and I coached Shea before, I'm telling you, Steven, not only is he a great player, he's everything good about our league. and you want to see him do well.
Everything great except that commercial. I didn't like him singing in the commercial. That's it. Other than that, he's great. And by the way, I voted for him for league MVP honors. I thought he deserved it even over Jokic because they got the second youngest team in the league, and they were the number one seed in the West. And this brother scored over 30 points in a game 50-plus times. I was like, to me, he should have been a league MVP, but that's neither here nor there. Denver, you're looking at them. They're the reigning defending champions. They're acting like it. Coach, I would say this about Anthony Edwards. Oof. There was Jordan. There was Kobe. And I'm seeing elements, Coach, that reminds me that this could be his era. And keep in mind, we were saying that about those guys, Jordan and Kobe, before they won titles. We could say it about Anthony Edwards before he wins a title. Your thoughts about him?
You know, it's interesting. A year and a half ago, Austin calls me in training camp. He's in Minnesota. He says, "Dad, this kid here will be the best player in the league in 2 years." I said, "What? In 2 years?" At that point, 2 years ago, we were not talking about him that way. And Austin says, "I'm telling you, he has everything. He's mature more than you think, and he's a stone-blooded killer." And that's what you see in him. Like the game last night, he was amazing. He absolutely was amazing. Defensively and offensively, he just needed help. And that's what it's going to come down to for them. The problem is they're playing a team that is wanted. You know, it's like the Mob. They're made.
Yes.
Denver's a made basketball team. Nothing's going to shake them. Nothing's going to make them nervous. So you're going to have to beat them. And beating a title team is really hard to do.
Before I let you get on out of here, real quick with a couple of questions. You brought up your son, Austin Rivers, who works here and works with me at ESPN, doing a damn good job, by the way. Your thoughts about your son going out there on the Pat McAfee show and saying, "I can get 30 NBA players to play in the NFL right now," causing this whole brouhaha virally over social media and beyond. What do you have to say to your son about that, Doc Rivers?
I'm laughing at him, even though I do think there's some points that he made that were pretty good.
Right.
You think about all the great tight ends who played basketball mostly and then joined the NFL. They did pretty well, Tony Gonzalez and that whole group.
Right.
Having said that, you don't talk about football.
Right, exactly. Can't do that, Coach.
Yeah, he knew that. He was joking, but the personal stuff and all that got a little bit out of hand.
Right.
But they're all having fun with it. It's a great debate. It really is.
Yeah.
You can. Listen, you can make a case. LeBron James, come on now. Yeah. I wouldn't have wanted. Did you see him in high school?
Yeah,
did you see LeBron James play in high school?
Yeah, but Shannon Sharp was talking about guys that show it. You saying they could go on the NFL field right now, that's what he was saying. That's what he was attacking.
No one can do that. No one can do that in any sport.
Right.
You know, other than Danny Ainge. Mm. Danny Ainge went from baseball and walked right on the basketball court. Mm. But there's very few guys, unless they've played it all their life and could have gone either way.
Right.
You know, the Dave Winfields, the Deion Sanders, it's very few people can just cross over sports. I do think the basketball athlete probably can cross over to more sports than any other sport.
Mm.
I will say that.
Right.
And the toughest thing to do of all the sports is hitting the baseball. Yeah. And we all know that. So, but it's a great thing for conversation. I actually love the conversation. I thought it was pretty interesting.
Real quick, sour note somewhat. We both love him, but you can't throw a basketball into the stands, not once, but twice. And obviously, Patrick Beverley, your player, got a 4-game suspension handed down from Adam Silver. Yeah. I thought he was lucky, and I thought he should have thanked his heavenly stars that David Stern wasn't still alive and the commissioner of the NBA. Otherwise, it would have been considerably longer. Anything you want to say about that?
No, you know, I told him right away when I found out about him, that's just not our way. We don't do that. You know, it's funny. I didn't tell him to apologize, but he did it. And so I was happy that he did it on his own. But you just can't do that. Listen, Stephen, you know, we get called
everything
names that you just don't want to hear. We really do. And if it was on the street, whole different ball game.
Right.
But in the game, in the profession that you're getting paid for by the fans that are paying for it, sometimes you just got to take it, and that's what you have to do. Same thing with Murray. I'm glad Murray, in my opinion, did not get suspended.
Right.
I've always been a non-suspension guy. Fans want to see people play.
Right.
They don't want to see guys get suspended. So I thought the league heavy fine, which I thought was great, but I'm glad they didn't suspend it.
Last question. Who you got in the finals? Who you got going to the finals?
Oh, man.
If I put you on the spot today, who do you have going to finals?
Put me on the spot right now. I'm still going Denver and Boston.
Believe in Boston?
I do. I mean, I don't want to because I'm in the East. You know, I can tell you that.
Right.
But right now, if you factor in health, there's not one healthy team in the East left, really, other than Boston.
Wow.
So I would pick them right now for sure.
And you called them healthy and Porzingis is out. I mean, come on now, because they still got so many weapons. So you're absolutely right. Doc Rivers, I know you're busy. I know you got to catch a flight. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. Appreciate you showing up on my show for the first time. All the best of luck. And by the way, I'm going to keep my promise. I'm going to end up getting on the golf course. I don't know when, Coach. I'm going to end up getting on the golf course. I'm working on it, Coach. I'm working on trying to
do it. I want to see it.
Thanks a lot, Coach. Take it easy, man.
Take care.
All right. Coming up. Did you hear what Joy Taylor said about what she wants in a man? What ladies want in a man? Did you hear? Did you hear? Well, if you didn't, you're about to. Her and Taylor Rooks talking. I was listening. That's up next, right here on the Stephen A. Smith Show. Don't go away.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Have you made the switch to Knix? Millions of women have made the switch to the revolutionary period underwear from Knix. That's K-N-I-X. Period panties from Knix are like no other, making them the number one leak-proof underwear brand in North America. They're comfy, stylish, and absorbent, perfect for period protection from your lightest to your heaviest days. They look, feel, and machine wash just like regular underwear, but feature incognito protection that has you covered. You can shop sizes from extra small to 4XL. Choose from all kinds of colors, prints, and different styles, from bikinis to boy shorts, thongs to high-rise. You've got to try Knix. See why millions are ditching disposable, wasteful period products and have switched to Knix. Go to knix.com and get 15% off with promo code TRY15. That's Knix.com, promo code TRY15 for 15% off life-changing period underwear. That's KNIX.com.
Welcome back to the Stephen A. Smith Show right here over the digital airwaves of YouTube. Earlier today on First Take on ESPN, we went back to a hot topic that blew up social media last week, courtesy of the one and only Austin Rivers. Can current NBA players play in the NFL? And vice versa. We posed that question to NBA champion Kendrick Perkins and NFL Hall of Famer Shannon Sharp, both of my boys on First Take. Look at this exchange.
All the football players around the world, they took offense to this. Oh, basketball players are soft. They're not mentally strong and all this. They're not mentally tough. Well, that's a damn lie. They have certain ones that are painted like that. But I know a lot of professional basketball players that have the mentality.
Shooting a basketball is a skill set, and basketball players are more skilled. I will concede that. But you see, the difference between football and basketball is a mentality. We go out there every Sunday, and we try to move a man against his will. We ain't trying to run around people. We're trying to run through people. Your mindset ain't built like that, Perk. Y'all not built like that.
Do you think LeBron James could go play football right now?
Absolutely not. Perk, you're talking about at the highest level. Do you understand what you're saying? I get upset when football players talk about, I can go get 10 points in the NBA, or I can go make an Olympic team, or I can play baseball, because you're being disrespectful to other sports. Give those sports the credit that they deserve. But this notion that you could take 5-10 current NBA players and put their ass on an NFL field, go try it.
Here's where I think, when you look at Austin Rivers, he's been victimized here. I think his words were taken a bit too literally because he was on the Pat McAfee show and he was joking around about it. And, you know, not that he wasn't serious, but what they're saying is being, what he said is being taken a bit too literally. What he's talking about, in my estimation, is that you have guys in the NBA who would be very capable NFL players. Not necessarily that they can walk in off the street after never playing football and then all of a sudden be on an NFL team just because of their athletic prowess in the sport of basketball. And I think that's how people are taking it. When you hear Shannon Sharpe going in the way that he's going in, he's saying not even LeBron James can walk off a basketball court, walk through the streets of America, and then all of a sudden go into an NFL stadium and play professional football. There's no way in hell that will happen because we're trying to break your will. You saw Ryan Clark on the Pivot talk about how he's about breaking people in half and caving in their chest and all of this other stuff. This is what they're talking about, walking through people or breaking them in half, breaking their will, as Shannon Sharpe was talking about. Kendrick Perkins, piggybacking off of Austin Rivers, is saying you've got athletes on a National Basketball Association level whose athletic prowess is so supreme that from an athletic standpoint, they can get on a football field. In terms of their toughness, they can still get on a football field and make some noise. But I think he was saying it by intimating if they were deciding to play football, meaning practicing it, getting themselves conditioned to do it, et cetera, et cetera. Austin Rivers didn't say it that way. He just acted as if you could come off the street and play football. That's not necessarily the case. When you look at the NFL, when you look at the violence that comes along with the NFL, when you sit up there and you listen to people statistically and from a data standpoint, equate it to a damn truck accident running into one another, you have to be conditioned to deal with that kind of violence. You can't just walk onto an NFL football field and think that you're ready for those brothers and what they're accustomed to doing on a week-to-week basis. That did come across as disrespectful. And if Austin Rivers meant it that way, he was disrespectful. But I don't think he meant it that way. I really, really don't. So again, I just wanted to point that out. Shannon Sharpe, Kendrick Perkins, both had legitimate points, but I heard Shannon Sharpe loud and clear. Very, very passionate about what he said. And oh, by the way, adamant, not even LeBron James could walk off the basketball court and walk into a football field right now. Can't happen. Can't happen. Now let me move on to a subject that I personally was looking forward to tackling because it's fun to me. I'm just going to let you know that right now, okay? Recently, media personality Joy Taylor of FS1 was speaking with co-host Taylor Rooks, the great Taylor Rooks, on their Too Personal podcast about what she wants in a man she would consider dating. And ladies and gentlemen, I must say, it was pretty interesting to hear. Take a look.
These hypotheticals have got us in a chokehold, and we must free ourselves. It's fun to argue about. It's fun to talk about what you would do in this scenario, or would you leave the game if the seats were high, or if a man took you this place on a first date, what you would do. And I'm telling you, like, every interaction that I have with people now, in some way or another, these things come up. Can we just keep it a buck? If they're fine enough, if they're funny enough, or if their financial status is what you want. Fine, funny, fucking money. You're throwing all boundaries, standards, all that shit you talked on Instagram about how you would never, and this woman ain't kick, because women this and men this, you're moving forward with this person.
I had to get up out of my seat to address this particular topic. First things first, Joy Taylor and Taylor Rooks are both friends of mine. I don't ignore the fact that they are beautiful friends of mine because they both are gorgeous. But they're also highly reputable in this field, and two individuals I am proud to call contemporaries and colleagues in this business. They do a hell of a job, and that was long before they had their own podcast, Too Personal. So let's get that out the way. But I wanted to address my buddy Joy Taylor with what she said. Because what she said was, correct me if I'm wrong, I need my producers and my peeps in studio. What did she say? Funny? What were the three categories? Funny, fine, financial status. Last time I checked, she said, Joy Taylor, funny, okay, fine, fucking money. She didn't say money. There was a word that came before that, which I won't repeat again. That's four categories. That's not three. Funny, fine, and financial are three categories. She said money and threw the F word in there before that. That F word before money counts, ladies and gentlemen. It really, really, really does. Are you ladies willing to admit that? This is not a question for myself. It's not a question for the fellas. Joy Taylor threw that out there while Taylor Rooks nodded in affirmation. So I'll throw this to the ladies out there. From everybody from corporate America to the shade room to the digital stratosphere to anywhere you choose. If you're a woman, I ask a simple question. Funny, fine, fucking money. That's four categories. You don't believe me? Let me play it for you again so you can see it for yourself. Go ahead, Grant.
Fine, funny, fucking money. You're throwing...
I'ma say it again. Stop it one more time. Griff, play it again so we make sure they heard it correct. I need to see it again. Say it again.
If they're fine enough, if they're funny enough, or if their financial status is what you want. Fine, funny, fucking money.
Joy Taylor, highly reputable, highly respectable woman. Knows of how she speaks, highly articulate, highly intelligent. I believe to be a star in this business, who will continue to be a star in this business, and so will Taylor Rooks. You think she threw out that word before money by accident? I was so proud of her. I got tears in my eyes. Hold on, get emotional. Because we hear so much from ladies. It's not just about that. It's about what's in the heart. It's about chemistry. It's about camaraderie. It's about a connection. It's about communication. It's about all of these things. Nobody's denying that. But that operative word that Joy Taylor threw out there, allow me to educate y'all about something. If you're a man in a heterosexual relationship with a woman, and you can't make sure that that particular category is ironclad established, the fine, the funny, and in most cases, even the money won't matter. Because even with all of that, she gonna look elsewhere. Big Daddy Kane once said it best. For every brother who won't, there's a neighbor who will. I get the job done. I work, baby. I work. I work, baby. That is what Joy Taylor revealed to the world. Something I always knew. Willing to bet the house, Taylor Rooks do that. The fellas know that. Most of you ladies know that. Are you willing to admit it? Joy Taylor, thank you so much for admitting this to the world one last time.
What you want? Fine, funny, fucking money.
Let's go to the tweets, will we? Let's see what this is before we close out the show. At Jackson09960335. Stephen A., what's the best gift for Father's Day? The best gift for Father's Day is your child coming to you and looking you in the face and telling you, I love you, Daddy. It's all I need. A beautiful hug, a beautiful kiss on the cheek, and affection written all over that child while they utter, I love you, Daddy. Ain't no gift greater than that. Ain't no gift greater than that. Next tweet, what's up? At Joe Mazzulla writes, how many Stephen A's would it take to fight a full-grown grizzly bear? Say about 50. Say about 50. I'm going to say that, because grizzly bear, I mean, Lord. You know, I mean, it's about 50. I mean, the paws are going to knock off about 25 of them. You hope to hold the other 25 hold on for dear life. That's a simple question. Let's go to the next one, please, right here. At Dylan Daft Doom writes, a real curveball here, Stephen A. Fred Flintstone or George Jetson in a street ball game, 2-11. I'm going to say Fred Flintstone. Do you know why? You ever see him driving the car? He's pedaling. The quick feet. That's what I think. I think even though he's bigger, he's faster than Mr. George Jetson. I know it doesn't seem that way. All of this other stuff. But he's a big boy as well. One forearm will hurt George Jetson. I'm going to go with Fred Flintstone. That's it. That's how I feel about it. By the way, I was still stuck on Joy Taylor and what she said. It had a profound effect on my day, probably my night too, in a very good way. That's it for this edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show. I'm gonna go away and smile a little bit more now. I like when my thoughts are so emphatically validated. Special feeling, really is.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.